Siren Radio.
Oh yeah.
This is Siren Radio 107.3.
Okay, we've identified that then. Thanks to Susie Sparkles, another classic show. And next week, of course, she'll have the extra hour because Midweek Drive Morning Edition is moving to 9 a.m. through to 11 a.m. on Thursday. So that's very exciting, isn't it, Robin Pearce in Wales?
Oh, yes, I can hardly wait.
Exactly. It gives us extra sort of time to acquaint ourselves, do all manner of things. And as most of it is actually packaged via the magic of Zoom, etc., it just shows the joy and wonderment that's there in the studio for this last 8 a.m. start for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren Radio. Day two of the Lincolnshire Show. We have Cathy Manso. How are you, Cathy?
I'm great. Ready to go out there. Ready for that sun.
Wonderful. And we also have Kaylee Mansell, who is actually physically in Lincoln.
Yeah, I am.
I'm here in the studio. Physically in the studio. And set for marvellous things as well. So great news as far as that's concerned. Robin, would you consider yourself to be a culture vulture?
Well, I don't know, really. I've always considered myself more, you know, lowbrow, to be honest with you.
Well, apparently, as far as travel is concerned, all-inclusive travel packages have lost their appeal, certainly within Britain, because British folk are seeking cultural experiences from their holidays now that the world has opened up. Half of holidaymakers say that all-inclusive travel has actually lost its appeal, and 93% of us are looking for more cultural experiences when travelling. This chimes with what I think you were talking about yesterday, doesn't it, Cathy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I think it's just needing to take it an extra step. I mean, anyone can go to the beach for a day. I mean, depending on where you're from. I know I'm luxurious and I come from
Yeah, when you say anybody can go to the beach.
You can get on a bus and make it to the water. That's a
In Miami, sense. Possibly. You know,
you can make it to the water here. I just can't guarantee
eventually.
Like Miami beaches. But more importantly, I think, you know, this is a big problem that we see in Miami. We have a lot of people who come and visit and travel to go, whether it's to party or to enjoy the spas or beaches. There's like a whole other aspect of Miami. I mean, I know there's a majority of people who don't even leave the island and go into the city of Miami and see historic things like Cayo Ocho.
Historic things like?
Cayo Ocho.
Which
is? It's a historic street in Miami, and it translates to Street 8, Cayo Street.
Okay, let's just test this. Robin, were you familiar with Street 8 in Miami?
No, but now I'm curious as to why it's so historic and why I should go there.
Exactly. All right. So this is the spot where you have some of the oldest restaurants. You have some of the oldest bars. You even have the oldest theater there. You can have a pretty... And they also do most of their festivals on this street. And when we talk about festivals, we talk about, like, the Little Haiti will celebrate their festival. And there'll also be Latin American culture celebrating their festival. So it's more about... actually more focused on the culture, like what's the food they eat, what's the style of dance that they're dancing to, the music they're listening to, and there's always something happening almost every month. So it's no matter the time of year, there's something to do on Cayo Ocho.
And this is Street 8.
Yes. But no one calls it that. Or 8th Street, I guess, if you have to, you know.
Intriguing. Well, Simon Calder is going to be joining us in a few moments to actually talk about his views. Simon, of course, ace travel writer, works for a whole variety of broadcasting outlets, etc. And in particular, the fact that 41% of British folk are planning to take more trips this year than they would have done before the pandemic. Well, that's pretty much from the statistics of bleeding obvious, isn't it? Oh, well. Here's Big Country, here's Chance. This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Good morning. It's Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. Well, we're still waiting for Simon Calder, but hopefully he'll be with us in a few seconds from now. We can say good morning to Richard Fitzwilliams. How are you, Richard?
I'm very well. Thanks, Alex. I'm good to be back.
Excellent. And, of course, we've got Sarah Huntley with us as well. How are you, Sarah?
I'm very well, too. Yes.
Splendid. Well, we're all very well, and hopefully Simon Calder will be very well as well. He's got his third chance. If he doesn't pick up now and we get another voicemail, we'll realise it's not going to happen. But here's Eric Clapton. And you could say, in many ways, travelling light is the advice that Simon Calder would produce. Yes, he's back with us, our ace travel expert extraordinaire, Simon Calder. How are you, sir?
Oh, well, look, it's a really lovely day to wake up to, of course. Many, many people, despite what you might be hearing, are getting away exactly as they plan to, having wonderful holidays. And goodness me, according to the survey I'm looking at from Valneva, we are going to see an awful lot of people doing some pretty adventurous things very, very soon.
Well, this is the key thing. I mean, in the studio we have Kathy Mance. So Kathy's introduced us to something which we weren't aware of, but you may have been, Simon. Are you familiar with Grotchi? Is that right? It's Grotchi?
No.
It's not Grotchi. It's
Gaiocho.
Gaiocho. In Miami. Street 8 in Miami. Are you familiar with that, Simon?
Gaiocho. Yes, of course. This is an absolutely gorgeous place to go. Now, this is Little Havana, and anybody who's flying out to Miami, it's kind of well inland from Miami Beach, but so well worthwhile going to explore. You can have a kind of taste of Cuba. They've got fantastic restaurants there. They've also got some interesting museums. You can see all these old Cuban guys playing dominoes, and they will most definitely pass the time of day with you. And that, I think, in the survey of that Valneva has conducted, is so interesting that people are seeking cultural experience from their holidays rather than just flopping on the beach. And it's really, really...
Oh, just dropping out of line there, basically. The mobile phone was causing problems. Are you still with us, Simon?
Oh, I definitely am. You're sounding lovely to me. I hope
of course.
I hope the opposite is true. Yes.
That's fine. Well, let's turn to somebody else who I believe has actually encountered you. She's online via Zoom, and that's Sarah Huntley. Sarah, are you a person who just flops on the beach when you head off, or are you more of a culture vulture? Would you echo Simon's line there?
Oh, I'm a little bit of both, I think. I love the sunshine, and then I think, oh, no, I can't go and look at something in case it's raining tomorrow. And then I get a bit bored, and then I go off and do something. Yeah, that's me.
Okay. And would you like to sort of share how you encountered Simon Callow? I mean, I'm just not from the point of view.
Simon probably doesn't remember me, but we met in Foy because I'm the little house at the end of the Esplanade.
Oh, there we are, Simon.
Simon's daughter of Daisy, I used to teach Lambda to at Alain's many years ago. So we have mutual friends. I remember doing a report from Foy with shorts on the bottom and a jacket on the top.
Well, there we are, Simon. Never let it be said you were expected to connect with Sarah Huntley, the little house at the end there from Foy.
How lovely, yes. And what a delight to talk to you. Yes, Foy, of course, one of the most gorgeous places that you could be today. But no, certainly people looking even further afield than the far end of Cornwall. Of course, what's so absolutely crucial is that people properly protect their health when they are venturing beyond even lovely Foy. And that's why there's a new and very useful, I must say, website called BewareOfTheBugs.com, which will basically, you say where you are going to be going, and it will tell you exactly what you need to do to prepare for it.
BewareOfTheBugs.com.
Yeah.
You see, Simon, I originally thought that was something about the CIA, and they were actually testing things out, basically. I thought it was listening devices, but no, something completely different.
That's BewareOfTheBugs.org.
Thank you, Kathy. Let's turn to Richard Fitzwilliams, our regular film critic and royal reviewer and so on. Richard, are you more, I suspect you are a culture vulture. You actually wouldn't go for this package holiday malarkey, would you?
I'm afraid you'll have to include me out. I mean, I'm sure I'd like a day or two of it, but the problem is you'd be trapped, and what would you do? What would you explore? What would be the historical link? What would be the aesthetic appeal? You'd just be gazing pretty vacantly, as far as I can make out. I mean, if you balanced it, and depending who was with you, of course, I mean, you know, if you had friends who like this sort of thing, I mean, perhaps fair enough. But just if you were alone, I would be bored.
There we are, you see. So Richard Fitzwilliams, and again, Simon, looking at the statistics here, those aged 55 and over are more likely to go exploring than younger generations whilst on holiday, whether with arranged tours or indeed trips of what Richard particularly likes, the self-guided excursions. So fulfilling that brief there, it would seem, Simon.
Look, and everybody, I think the older you get, the more you realise the immense joy and enrichment that travel can bring. And therefore, I guess if people are thinking, well, you know, I can't travel forever, people are most definitely going out and immersing themselves in local culture. Of course, it's even though we've emerged from the pandemic with, you know, a few stresses and strains in the travel industry, the vast majority of people are getting where they need to be. And it's, I think, going to be a really, really good few years. I'm looking forward to traveling right through the 20s. That's the decade, not my age. Having a really rewarding time. It's going to get easier and easier. We're living in a time when travel is thankfully becoming more accessible than ever before.
Unless you're using the railways, of course, but we won't talk about that. You know, it's another issue. Kaylee, just very quickly, in terms of this other finding, thrill seeking is most likely amongst millennials, with over a quarter of millennials involved with hiking, snorkeling, diving, going on safari, swimming with dolphins, sharks, or indeed turtles. Does that match your sort of line?
That sounds brilliant. Yeah, I think when I do go away, I'm trying to find something exciting to do, definitely, even in the most boring of places. But I also know how to
mellow out on the beach, and I did a lot of that in Wales. But I guess there's no swimming with dolphins in Wales.
If you wish to mellow on the beach in Wales, what else can you do other than drive a Batmobile? Robin Pierce, finally, from your own point of view in Wales, does this chime with your experiences of holidays? So are you more of a kind of, I want to avoid the package, I want to go for something unique and different?
Well, I'm not a beach person. I live on a peninsula, so I'm close to a beach, and I tend to avoid that other than basically wait till it's deserted and take a walk along it. If I'm away anywhere, I like to explore, preferably on foot. I'm not much of one for, you know, sort of thrill seeking. I think those days are gone.
It just shows it takes all sorts. Simon, where can people find out further details about this particular survey? Or indeed, do they simply go to bewarethebugs.com? Bewareofthebugs.com. Beware of the bugs. Exactly.
Yep. And that's going to take you to a website where you can find out your nearest travel clinic, and also just tap in the name of your destination and find out what you need to think about ahead of a trip. And it's a great time to travel, but just make sure you are properly prepared.
Simon, as ever, two final questions before we move on to the next stage. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been a great joy to speak to you, and more particularly your lovely listeners, and of course Sarah.
Well, it's always a joy to speak to Sarah. That's clearly in that basis. So Sarah, what's the other question we need to put to Simon?
Well, Simon, will you be coming back?
I'll be heading back to...
Oh, I'm sorry, that was too long a pause. No,
to the programme, Simon. Will you return to the programme?
Oh, to the programme, yes.
Fantastic. I realise there was a double edge on that one, so we just had to put it right immediately, otherwise it could get all sort of personal. Simon Calder, travel writer extraordinaire, keep on keeping on, and happy holidays, Simon.
And to you and your lovely listeners too.
Brilliant stuff. There we are, Simon Calder. Now let's move on as we head off from one sort of zone to the cinematic and film review feature, because, you know, we ummed and ahed about, should we talk about Royal Ascot? It's all been done. It's done and dusted. Hashtag so white. It's very difficult. No, Richard. No. We can't.
Who has done it and why?
I know that. But, you know, please, it's the Lincolnshire show this week, Richard. We're all Lincolnshire show.
We just don't have time, Richard.
Royal Lincoln show may be one thing, but Royal Ascot is another.
Exactly. So let's get your thoughts on
a huge super spectacle. And remember last year, the summer scaled down, and the year before, held behind closed doors.
Did you make a profit, Richard? Did you make any profit at all?
Well, oddly enough, I mean, I came out more or less even, but there's a very interesting example of the way you should bet with your emotions, because I was with this person was a naval officer, and it was the fourth race on the last of the 5 days. That's Saturday, and there was a horse 33-1 Naval Crown, and he put £660. I mean, this was the record as far as any appearance that I've ever had there. I mean, obviously.
There we are. And that's enough Royal Ascot's 2022, Richard. We'll save it for next year, okay?
Why are you not interested, Alex, in one of the...
Because there's so much to be packed into the place. We want your views. Robin needs your views on...
This is the highlight of the season. There's the Royal...
I'm going to be losing his channel. I'll be muting him. I will. Third time. Richard, Jurassic World Dominion. We heard from Robin last week about this. We're not going to give his views. You may have already heard them. What are your thoughts, Richard Fitzwilliams, on this closing epoch?
Well, 4 years after Eyes the Nubar is destroyed, the dinosaurs now live alongside humans. And we have some, this is quite an interesting thesis, I have to say, the opening of the film, we see examples of this. And it's also the case that a firm called Biosyn Genetics has established a sanctuary in the Dolomites where they conduct genomic research. The former Jurassic World operations manager, Claire Deering, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, And also teaming up with the Dinosaur Protection. She's still with the Dinosaur Protection Group, and her partner, Owen Grady, played by Chris Pratt, relocates stray dinosaurs. They live in the remote Nevada, secretly raising teenage Maisie. Now, Maisie is very, very unusual. Indeed, she's been cloned. And also, it has to be said that he is training a Velociraptor who lives nearby and has an asexually reproduced hatchling. This is very much the case that Biosyn Genetics want to study Maisie's DNA. They kidnap her. They also kidnap the hatchling, Beta. And this begins a rather extraordinary plot. It has to be said that giant locust swarms are ravaging the planet. Why is that? Could that be the Biosyn seed crops are the only things not affected? Well, it just so happens that Dr. Ellie Sattler, played by Laura Dern, and Dr. Alan Grant, played by Sam Neill, are trying to discover what is happening. And indeed, Biosyn takes Maisie and the hatchling Beta to Malta. My goodness gracious me, somebody's seen Star Wars here and doing a bit of an imitation. There's a dinosaur black market there. And also there's some cases which is when the film, in my view, starts really going down. And at Biosyn itself, Dr. Ian Malcolm, played by Jeff Goldblum, suspects the company geneticist releasing locusts and that all sorts of bizarre things are going on there. And so you have this investigated by Dr. Sattler and Dr. Grant. The plot, I can only describe without going on further, it becomes absolutely hyper-complicated. Maisie escapes, and we have a whole series, this lasts for 2.5 hours, of imaginatively filmed, yes, but absolutely and totally absurd episodes where something that initially, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed some of the what was originally Jurassic Park series. The problem is when it's overkill, and when then the problem is compounded by the fact that excellent though certain aspects of it may be, visually, for example, yes, and also when
Richard, Petius, what's your score? Let's cut to the quick. What's your score?
No, Petius, you won't let me continue, Alex. I've noticed this. No, Petiosaurs attack the aircraft. There's an underwater scene that's well filmed, and you've got first class performers, but they're not given a chance to act. My score, I mean, quite honestly, when you've got a waste like this,
a waste.
A waste, a total and complete waste. There are tense moments, but the whole thing, the amount of talent that's gone in recreating the dinosaur, all of this, what you've got is something that doesn't make any sense and that goes on and on,
like Royal Ascot, on and on and on and on.
No, that is that is a cheap jive, Alex. That is an intention.
Never stop it. Every year.
It doesn't go on and on and on, or I'd still be there, I point out. You.
Okay, so you're the end, indeed.
But no, if you think of this, I mean, you think what it could have been like, it could have been half the length or thereabouts, and it could have been very entertaining and exciting, which it should have been. And in point of fact, we don't give spoilers, Alex.
No.
But nonetheless, the end of this is the ultimate.
Not satisfying.
My score is 4, quite honestly.
4?
Whoa.
Ridiculous. I'm sorry, you were with us last week. I mean, are you caught between the two? I mean, you know, we know Robin. Robin, your score, just to remind Richard, was?
I gave it a 9, didn't I?
Yeah, you gave it a 9.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I elevated it above Fallen Kingdom because it answered questions I've had since the first Jurassic Park film. As a fan, I left quite satisfied.
Kathy, where do you sit now? I mean, here we are, complete binary opposition here, you know, complete extremes.
The audacity. I just don't... I don't know where I stand. Mm. It's a hard balance. Will I go see it? Of course. Will I see it immediately? Probably not.
Wow.
I think that's how I'm going to have to hit the middle. I think I'm going to have to wait for it to get into one of my multiple streaming platforms.
Robin, will you cut to the quick? I mean, here you are, your first time with Richard Fitzwilliams in months, literally months.
Months.
And already there's a total difference of
cutthroat.
Opinion. Complete. I mean,
this is why Richard and I work so well together, I think. you get both sides of the spectrum.
Mm.
I think between us, we are a complete package, are we not, Richard?
I absolutely agree. It's a joy to be back with you, Alex and Robin. Yeah. I have to say, I wish Alex was on better behavior, but what can we do about
it? It's just, you know, that's why we're going back to a whole new routine. Sarah, what are you going to do with this Jurassic World Dominion challenge? I mean,
well,
you're here.
I mean, I think the entertainment's Robin and Richard, really. Yeah. You see, the thing is, Robin sold it to me because I don't know anything about these sorts of films. And now, having listened to my friend, Mr. Fitzwilliams, I've got a whole day of paperwork and tax, and I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, if I watch this film, my head is going to be jangled even further. I think I'm like Kathy. I don't think, I have to be honest, to tell the truth, I don't think it'll be my first choice, only that I don't think at the end of today I'll have enough energy to focus on all the different worlds. It's a different world, isn't it? It's a whole different world.
It's Jurassic World, you know, quite literally.
But I can see, on the other hand, for other people, perhaps escaping to a different world is what they want to do.
Mm. And if you want a satisfying conclusion to these six movies and really fit the thing together. But I did pretty much predict that, did I not, Kathy, that Richard was not going to like it.
You knew it immediately.
Right,
you
from the
thought
start.
It was going to be a six, though.
I thought it might have gone six, because I think it might have been equalised. You might have said one for the fans, etc. But no, clearly
straight
not.
To four.
Well, I mean, if you're doing the one, if one is doing one for the fans, I suppose.
Don't patronise them, Richard. Do not patronise them. They're very important people.
No, that is enough. Coming, I will not.
It's like people who do get top hat and tails at Ascot, you know?
No. If you give one for the fans, you're not patronising them. You're thinking of them. And in fact, you're trying to balance what you thought, and you give one for yourself and what they might think and enjoy. You know that perfectly well. That was another cheap jive.
No.
Yes.
No, I mean, Robin, when he does his reviews, absolutely down the line, straightforward, etc. 9 out of 10, you know, satisfying conclusion.
Yeah. Actually, I have to take back my response. I think I have to go see it now, because I just remembered that I had a friend who helped make it in Malta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was part of the production team. So
awesome.
Now I'm like, oh no, I gotta call Joanna and let her know. I was like, oh, I have to watch
this. So, Joanna, you know, if you want to actually look at reviews, look at Robin Pierce's reviews, avoid anything by Richard Fitzwilliams.
Yes.
That's really kind of you, Alex. I really appreciate it.
Let's see if we can redress the balance.
Do you normally wake up dripping with acid?
We'll be switching to Sundays again in July, so don't worry, it'll all be back again. Bergman Island, named presumably after Victor Bergman, the character in Space 1999. Not Richard. Bergman Island, what's it all about?
Bergman Island is a very sensitive, fascinatingly structured film from director Mia Hansen-Løve, and it's about a couple of American filmmakers, the director and very well-respected Chris, Tony, played by Tim Roth, and his wife, Chris, played by Vicky Cripps. They travel to Faro, which is the island where the great film director, one of the finest, in my opinion, Ingmar Bergman, lived and worked. And Tony absolutely loves Bergman and his films. Chris greatly admires his films. On the other hand, Bergman's personal life, putting it mildly, was...
Interesting, Richard. Interesting.
It was decidedly offbeat, and certainly the way he treated his wives and children, she finds it very difficult to separate the two. And what we see is, firstly, the fact when they're on the island of Faro, this is where Bergman lived, where he did a large number of his films. It's an island that's basically geared to tourists who admire Bergman. And we find the two of them, their marriage, they have a young daughter, their marriage starts certain cracks start appearing. She is struggling, Chris is struggling with writer's block, and is receiving very little support from Tony. And she also discovers that he has certain unusual interests, which is probably one of these things that you don't expect, and one of the surprises that the film has, because there are several. It's very intriguing the way they each pay their homage to Bergman, which of course this is. But she comes across Hampus, played by Hampus Nordenson, who wants to show her the island, so she skips the Bergman tour, which she's expected to go with Tony. Are they drawn together, she and Hampus? And also, what of her work? She starts, and indeed we see, this is very interesting, we actually see her screenplay start. She's hoping that Tony's going to help her or assist. And you actually see this, basically Amy in her screenplay, played by Mia Wasikowska, is an American filmmaker in her late 20s. She goes to Faro, so that's an interesting twist to it, for the wedding of a friend. And another of the guests is Joseph, and played by Anders Danielsen Lee, with whom she had an affair both as a teenager and then later as an adult. So there, obviously, there's tremendous chemistry between them, and yet subsequently she has a daughter, he's married, how do they relate to each other, and what happens? And it starts getting somewhat dramatic, and you get very involved in her story. There are surprises. What happens next in her story? What happens in real life between the couple? And undoubtedly, this is a tribute.
Recording in progress.
It's fascinating that Bergman made, I mean, he was probably someone who knew the human condition and studied it and conveyed, especially his studies of angst seen from a marriage, shame, persona, the famous Max von Sydow film, The Seventh Seal, Cries and Whispers. We see clips from this, which is...
But strangely, no clips from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which, of course...
No, but I mean, Bergman was a great filmmaker, but he also gave an insight into the human condition, and particularly the darker side.
Look,
of
he's
human
Swedish. People. He's Swedish. It's what Swedes
he's
do.
Swedish.
It's what we decided last night. Sandra North doesn't like the Beatles. It's a shock, controversial thing. Richard, we've already had a discussion in the studio about what we think you're going to go for this. But before we actually go for that particular aspect, Sarah, is this a movie for you?
It sounds intriguing with what you perceive of a person and what's actually going on underneath. I think I'm quite interested by the subplot of what
a
their
sly and moving story about a woman finding her way as an artist.
Yeah, well, maybe what the line's going to be is actually hang on to your artistic integrity and career, because that remains whatever, perhaps
sacrosanct. Exactly.
I don't know.
Robin Pierce, one for your good self, or is it a case of, come on now, you must be absolutely joking?
In all honesty, I think that I, as a person, am far too shallow for this one.
You see, that's refreshing honesty. Good Welsh refreshing honesty.
It's understandable. My first question was, where are the dinosaurs?
Exactly. This is true. Where are the dinosaurs in any Bergman movie? I tried to give a nod in the direction of The Seventh Seal is parodied, of course, with death in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. But ultimately, where are the dinosaurs? Richard, what's your score for Bergman Island?
Well, firstly, just may I point out the performers, I mean, all the actors, absolute perfection in this, visually very atmospheric. My score, and incidentally, on the subject of dinosaurs, I do believe that our presenter, the beloved Alex, has today taken on the role of a dinosaur. I would give it 9.
And
you fell right into the trap, Richard. You fell right into the trap of Alex. He said you were going to give it a 9.
Yeah.
You said a 9.
Yeah.
Is he a monster or a genius? I just don't know.
Just know your talent, Kathy. Know your talent. Know where they're going to come from, and it's all good there. And try and avoid any kind of over-eulogising with respect to Royal Ascot, for obvious reasons.
That is an outrageous thing to say. You went to discuss it, and you keep attacking it. What have you got against it?
It's too white, Richard, bottom line. It's I don't see any Caribbean people there. I don't see any Caribbean jockeys. I think it's a sad reflection on white supremacy.
You don't see anything because you don't watch it. It's a huge, sprawling...
Richard, I've done 6 years at Royal Ascot, including when Royal Ascot was at York. That's quite enough time for me to actually say, yeah, I don't think so. But there we are.
Alex, like I do when I rate films for myself and for the fans, surely you would concede that there are those who love it.
Well,
I know indeed, because I love it, and
yeah, I know you do, Richard, and long may you continue to do so. Basically, I just feel sorry for the horses. But anyway, let's move on. Vanessa King is coming up next to talk about a daily dose of positivity, all at the touch of a button. So that's always critical from that point of view. But Kathy, would you like to put those last two questions to Robin, to Sarah, to Richard, in whichever order you wish?
Of course, I'm going to give it to the order you just go. We'll go from Robin to Sarah to Richard. All right. So my first question is: have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today, Robin?
Always entertaining and insightful. So yes, it's been marvellous.
I couldn't agree with you more. Sarah?
Oh yes, because I think we ought to decide what dinosaur breed Alex is.
And yeah, it's a velociraptor, Richard. Sarah, quite honestly.
Or whatever, I can't remember.
It's a velociraptor, I've told you before, time and time again.
And now I'm going to be smiling because it's put me in a positive mood, this programme, for the rest of the day. And I have visions of Richard from, the scene from My Fair Lady in the film.
Oh, please, don't get us started. Don't get him started on My Fair Lady, please.
What's going in there. And Robin, yeah. I've got having sort of thunderbolts coming through in Wales and the Dark Shield.
Yeah.
And, so I'm all set up for the day, really. And I hope I didn't sound like a duper entendre rude question to Simon Calder. I didn't mean to.
You said to Simon Calder, when are you next coming over to Foy? And, please. what you want to say in terms
say
of
that,
code?
To be fair, Sarah, I heard you.
When are you next coming down to Foy?
He took it that way. That's all.
Did he? Mm. Oh, dear.
No, you said it correctly. No, his mind was somewhere else.
He was probably, he realised he was on a tight schedule for turnover interviews on today.
9 minutes.
That's what happens. Exactly, 9 minutes.
A lovely, lovely time. And the girls, you do make me laugh with your giggling in the background there. the listener can't see this, but it adds to the...
Look, I've suggested for years that when it comes to comedy, just put up Richard and Robin, basically. That's it. Richard and Robin.
And yourself, Alex.
And yourself. What, Didactyl? What are we calling you?
Didactyl? No, that's the Welsh dinosaur. Why?
Very good.
So, speaking of Welsh dinosaurs.
But we have to now go to Richard. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Oh, I have. I certainly agree with what Robin says. It's really great to be back with them in the same programme. And the two of us, I think, could keep Alex cabin cribbed and confined, yeah. I think.
It's not going to happen.
They're going to set their own
Richard, Robin can't do Sundays, so we'll be back on Sundays for the Giants, Eli, so that's all fine. Carry on.
We need snipers with tranquilizer darts to keep Alex quiet.
And finally, will you all be joining us again?
Yes.
Indeed.
Inevitably, you get the guests you deserve.
Well, I think that's an outrageous slur as we actually begin to head off to Vanessa King. And just a reminder, on average, we spend 2 hours a day searching for positive content. We've just spent the last 25 minutes searching for some positive content for Jurassic World and Royal Ascot.
No, it's a great disappointment.
Oh, okay. I mean, Robin, you can't stand for that. You cannot stand for that.
It is
not
a disappointment.
Exactly.
You're being curmudgeonly, Richard.
Just so true.
Quite literally, I was dying to leave the
summer. There we are.
Dying to leave, literally.
I'm not going to see that as a quote under the DVD release of Jurassic World Dominion. I'm certainly not. But anyway.
It bored me. I mean, to have such superb models and the dinosaurs and the whole of all the visual, and completely and totally, I mean... Celluloid.
We're going. The Sugar Babies are on. They're taking part. Richard Fitzwilliam, Sarah Huntley and Robin Dias. Keep on keeping on. Happy Lincolnshire Show Day 2. Is it as easy as that? Is it simply as the Sugar Babe said, we could just push that button and instantly get happiness? Well, the only person who could really deal with that question is our ace positivity expert extraordinaire, Vanessa King. How are you, Vanessa?
I'm good, thank you, Alex. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning.
Exactly, and we push that button of happiness and that's what it's all about. An average 2 hours a day are what we spend searching for positive content. Is that because we just, you know, we look at the world, we look at the news, we see what's happening in Ukraine, we see what's happening in Afghanistan, we're seeing all of these tragic stories and so on, we're worried about the cost of living crisis and so on. We need some positivity.
Yeah, I mean, we do actually, Alex. I mean, there's science behind that. And I think the Sky Mobile Research found that 45% of people agree that when they view positive stories and inspiring posts online, it actually boosts their mood. And it's not about ignoring all the bad things that are happening in the world. Actually, it's really, you know, it's important to stay in touch. But it's about managing that balance between the kind of all that sort of difficult news and giving ourselves a little boost with some of the positive content.
Now, looking at some of the stats about this, 31% of us turn to social media. Facebook is way ahead with 48%. I suppose Meta would be very happy about that. Instagram, also Meta, 40%. YouTube, 35%. TikTok, 31%. Snapchat, 19%. We've got two fabulous folk in the studio. Let's start off with Kaylee. Does that jibe with yourself? Do you scroll through the systems and say, unless I find that ideal TikTok video, my life is just a misery?
I think it's so surprising that Facebook's so far up the list.
Right. I wasn't ready for that.
No,
but
I think
we have to remember the older generation.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah,
they
do exist.
It was an attack.
The older generation, Vanessa. I mean,
yeah,
I know. Yeah.
I think I might be one of them.
I just think it depends on what people consider positive, maybe. And I think personally for me, I'd say YouTube and TikTok are pretty good. I think there's so many creators on these platforms that essentially anything that you'd want to find, you can find. And with that comes, you know, taking self-responsibility and cheering yourself up if nothing else is working. And I think platforms like that, although quite harmful, do help people like me in that way. I think it's a personal experience for everybody that's on them. So in that respect, I think, yeah, it's pretty positive of them, definitely.
Vanessa, yeah. have we kind of gone beyond the nation where, you know, simply seeing a cute kitten playing the piano could actually just lift our spirits? Have
yes.
we now gone beyond that?
Yeah, I think it is being aware, a bit like the others were saying, you know, is how is your phone making you feel? How's the content you're consuming making you feel? And just making some conscious choices. I mean, our phones are actually fantastic. I mean, you know, the ability to learn anything pretty much, you know, through our phones is there if we want to do it. Or, you know, you know, find some inspiration. And I know the Sky Mobile research found that people were, you know, really got a boost from kind of inspiring people who were, you know, perhaps showing us the way when we're struggling a bit. You know, and I don't just mean influencers and celebrities, but there's lots of great people out there who've had struggles themselves, and they've actually come through it. They've found ways to manage it. And I think our phones give us access to that. But we do have to manage our phones and our phone consumption, not let it manage us.
Kathy, it's turned to your good self as somebody sort of mid-range, not middle-aged, but mid-range in terms of the youth.
All right,
the youth,
shots
the youth
fired.
Exactly.
He's going for you now. It's fair.
You've travelled the world. What are your thoughts on this one?
I mean, I think it is something that... And I don't think it's just to a certain age group. I think everyone is becoming a little bit more aware how our social media can be a source of happiness or sadness sometimes. Mm. You know, I think it also depends on the content you follow. What are you putting into the algorithm? I'm really proud that a lot of my stuff is focusing on the reality and not the fakeness. Like, to get those beautiful photos of traveling where you're the only person on on this row of stairs, the reality of that is you woke up at 4 in the morning to go and get that picture. And they're being more honest about it. Like, people are exposing exactly the way they're doing it. Or, you know, not everyone's life is, oh, I live on a boat and everything's great and I'm fed strawberries. No, actually, I create content and that's how I'm paid. And then they pay me to promote this.
Vanessa, you're obviously an expert on positive psychology. You're a board member at Action for Happiness and so on. I mean, is it a case of the glass is half full, that, as Kathy said there, that I suppose these days the technology is there to just delete people that you don't want on your pictures, basically just produce your ideal image, etc. Are we heading to a totally virtual world, do you feel, Vanessa?
Well, I hope not, because actually... I mean, I think the most important use of our phone, almost if you like, is to kind of connect with and stay connected and nurture connections with people, real people in our lives, you know, because it's fundamentally important for our well-being. And I think being aware of not just what we're consuming, but also what we're posting, because that, you know, that has and the impact it might have on others. And I know that, you know, lots of people use their phone to kind of share things with others that they think they'll like, or, you know, lift other people up by kind of showing appreciation or pointing out their positive qualities, because we can use our phones as a force for good as well as for all the other stuff.
Is that where all the emoticons of putting hearts and likes and everything else is a case of, we just want to like you and the other sort of things, which sometimes I just find, frankly, a little bit passé?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's right. And I think if we're just chasing likes, that's not going to do anybody any good. Mm. You know, but if it says, you know, Alex, you know, loved the show today, really thought that, you know, you gave some insightful comments. If somebody, you got a, you know...
Oh, Vanessa, you know how to say all the right things.
He's smiling. He's smiling.
You know, but that makes a difference. And we can do that for, you know, all of our friends and people, you know, people we know in real life and whatever, to actually point out, because, you know, we're often focused on what we're not good at. But when somebody... points out something, you know, a real, you know, positive quality within us, and that's a really positive thing to happen, and that can really change the day and change the week or change the month for someone.
Can't change the world, but you can change yourself. Kaylee, any other questions you want to put to Vanessa?
Why do you think that it's so important to focus on a topic like this in this day and age? It sounds like a bit of a rhetorical question, but what is your personal input?
Vanessa, Kaylee's an English undergraduate, so she's going to do the rest of it as a matter of course.
I'll mention science. So, well, I mean, there's been an explosion of the scientific research on how do we kind of manage our well-being, how do we increase our well-being, how do we flourish as human beings, as societies, and actually having sort of positive, sort of this sort of positive emotional experiences, you know, not all the time. I mean, it's not about being kind of in la la land, but it's, you know, those have a drip feed effect that we're more open, we're more creative, we connect better with other people, and it can when we've had a sort of drip feed of positive emotional experiences. So this is, it's not just nice to have, it's actually thinking about how do we actively manage our psychological well-being.
And Kathy?
Yeah, and I wanted to ask, what is something that you do, whether it's a tip or a trick, you do once a week or once a day in order to manage this well-being?
Yeah, I mean, well, I would give a shout out here to Action for Happiness as a social movement and charity. And we, there's a fantastic app which has a little daily action, all based on the science, that you can do to to get a kind of boost, boost in happiness, and actually learn about the science of happiness as well. And it's a great community on there as well. People are saying it's one of the most positive communities they've come across online. So I'd really recommend checking out the Action for Happiness free app.
Vanessa, it's been more than wonderful, actually, featuring you on the show. I feel as we've kind of just reached a whole new level of wonderment, etc. So, basic questions from our point of view. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition live today? Has it been okay?
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
This is good. So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future? Will you be kind enough to return?
Of course. Love to.
Will Breeze, handle that mobile phone with care. To really drop it down and, well, could create all manner of problems. Thanks for listening to the last 50-odd minutes, 55 minutes and 37 seconds of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition live. We've got the Lincolnshire Show Day 1, some of our coverage of that, which we did yesterday, Kathy and myself, at the Lincolnshire Show, which you can check out as well after this at 9 a.m. Then, of course, next week, remember, the Midweek Drive Morning Edition is between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And we're also on the Midweek Drive live for Wednesdays between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. So we say thanks to Kathy Manso and Kaylee Mansell. Have you enjoyed the experience?
A lot, yeah. It's nice to be in the studio knowing that it's open.
It's a good time here. Do you feel like our names are very similar to pronounce together?
And your last name starts with an M and so does mine.
Yeah, it's been fun to hear the difference between the two. I'm like, is he me or you?
Strange but true, but at least I found out about Street 8 in Miami and the Gaiochi Festival.
Yeah,
which is awesome. Plus, of course, the joys of Vanessa King, Simon Cowell, Sarah Huntley, Robin Pierce, Richard Fitzwilliams, and of course, we include your good self, dear listener, because without you, frankly, well, the show's pretty meaningless. We're going out with Goldfrapp and Happiness. It's Siren Radio, providing you with the best for Lincoln, because frankly, you deserve no less. Can we say happy trails?
Happy trails.
Happy trails.